Everybody, happy Sunday night. Today is March 24th, 2024. We are across the pitch. Just two of us tonight as Jose is on dad duty out there in PA. Joined, as always, with me is Dave Miller. Dave, how are you doing tonight out in England?
Yeah, I mean, I'm good. I mean, obviously, it's been a pretty good weekend for my team. So, Jill's won yesterday at Wet Morecambe. You know, the Union won the first MLS game last night when, you know, myself included, probably didn't think it was going to come. The win was going to come. And then, you know, the Sixers just completely demolished, the Clippers and James Harden. So, without Joel Embiid. So, I mean, it's been a good sporting weekend.
Do you know, just off the top of your head, how long Embiid is out for still? Because I feel like he's been out for, like, months at this point.
I'm convinced he might be back, like, in a couple of weeks. Back for the run, I think.
Yeah, right now they're sitting, like, the 7th, 8th spot of the East. I haven't paid too much attention to it. Obviously, busy with Union as well as everything else in between. But I feel like if they just get Joel back, they'll be okay. But until then, it's kind of just they're much weaker than every other opponent out there. But yeah, so Gillingham pulled off a pretty impressive win on Saturday. I see you repping the jersey as always, right? So it's a good win for your club out there. But you're right. The Union pulled off this win yesterday that I didn't see coming a mile away. I don't think anybody saw it coming a mile away. And we really haven't even talked on air. We haven't had a show in about like a week and a half. So we didn't really get to talk even about the Austin match or all this mayhem that's been happening. So before we get too deep into yesterday's game, you have now 4 points in the last two games between Austin and Portland. What are your thoughts on this team at this moment, just off the results alone for their MLS season?
I mean, a good thing is they're not losing games. Just, I mean, you want to at least get a win from your opening four games of the season. I mean, they're not losing in the league play anyway, so that's a good thing. You know, I think probably the biggest concern isn't scoring goals. It's still probably defensively. I think, again, you know, I don't want to seem too negative. It was a massive win, but, you know, the team could have easily been a couple of goals down before the commands I had the last night of in the first half. They could have conceded twice after the goal line. You know, so, I mean, there's still some holes in the team where you're probably a bit concerned, especially defensively. But, I mean, again, this team, it looks night in terms of going forward and creating chances and scoring goals. It looks like it's night and day comparison to last year when there was like pulling teeth out at times and games like this where the Union probably at full strength could have gone to a team like Portland last year and, you know, just struggled to even get out of their own half, struggled to have three shots on goal. And now they've scored three goals, had a goal disallowed and probably should have scored another two with Mikel Uwa. So I mean, like, overall, I think it's a good sign. It's a good sign attacking wise, not so good defensively. I think that's something that, you know, we have to watch out for.
No, it's hard to even think about how they prepare for this game defensively because you saw what we put out there in the lineup. We had Marcus Anderson on the left-hand side. You know, you had basically both of your sixes out in Venezuela on international duty. So you really were just kind of throwing something together last minute, hoping that it was okay. And you're right, the Union survived the first 15, 20 minutes, which was just like an onslaught from Portland. They should have definitely had at least one goal within the first 10 to 15 minutes, at least. And the Union were very fortunate that both Semele played well to start the game, but also Portland just missed some chances. I mean, they had that one right in the front of the net that should have been easily buried and just somehow went way, you know, far to the left of the goalpost. So, but no, in terms of the Union's, I guess you want to say, mentality, we had some severe doubts after the Pachuca match to see how this club would react to just being embarrassed in front of everybody. Yeah. And I think they answered it pretty well. You played fairly decent in Austin. Yes, you kind of blew that game in the sense that you probably should have won that game. And those two goals that you allowed within a matter of minutes was unacceptable. But at least you had shown some fight. You showed some grit and you pulled off with a road point. Yesterday, I mean, you had nothing to lose. You weren't going to... Nobody was going to be upset if you lost that game. You're missing eight players. You know, it's like, okay, here's what it is. Go back home to Minnesota, regroup, and just come back with a full roster. But to have that type of performance says a lot about the team's character, says a lot about what Curtin has done this past week to prepare them. Maybe Bedoya and his leadership with Andre Blake being gone, right, to making sure he's running this team properly, still as the captain, even if not in a lesser role this year, still as a captain. So I was very impressed overall with how they played. And then Jose actually comments, up the Jills, up the Union. Jose, hope you're doing well. Hope the fam's doing well tonight as well. Thanks for joining us tonight. So again, resiliency and the way they acted yesterday was exactly what I was hoping for from this Union squad. And now they're bringing a lot of momentum back home against Minnesota. But before we get to that, again, let's focus on this Portland match. What did you think about the rotation, the lineup, and how Jim Curtin approached yesterday's game?
I think the only real shock for me was the fact that Marcus Anderson, well, I mean, look at the lineup and you think, you know, they're going to play the diamond and they're going to have a Carranza maybe drop into that 10 role and, you know, she's probably a bit more reliable on the ball, could probably do a bit more. But, yeah, to go with the flat four, I mean, it was a bit difficult to really know if it was a flat four, though, just respect. I feel like you saw Marcus Anderson a lot more central than a bit more narrow than he was out wide. I thought it was a 4-3-3 at times. You sort of watched away and watched, it was sort of like three somewhat. You always sort of like had the two Carranza and Nuan and sort of and Anderson sort of always lingering around sort of a bit further up. So I thought it was like a 4-3-3, but I think I thought rotation wise, I think apart from the Anderson pick, I think it was probably spot on. I thought Bedoya, as you sort of mentioned, probably not the sort of game that, you know, well, it's probably the sort of game you would want him for, but perhaps not the position or the role that you would have expected him to apply this season, you know, playing in the holding six, but I thought he managed that quite well. He protected the back line more. But yeah, I think, again, I thought the rotation was probably spot on. You managed to facilitate all your best players. Perhaps if you were going to go for a 4-4-2, maybe Matt Real could have played at left mid, or you could have moved Kai Wagner up into left mid and Real left back. But I think, again, well, the Union won, so you can't really complain too much, I think.
I was going to say, I mean, whatever worked last night worked. I mean, if you look at this lineup, and also Dan joins us, Dan says, I'm actually stunned Jimmy shifted his approach. And the more he sees Anderson, his work rate is just outstanding. We'll talk about that in a second because I agree 100%, Dan. Thanks for joining us tonight. If you look at this bench that they had, when they put up the lineup, right, you look at the bench, you have Andrew Rick, and you have Ngabo, Real, and Makanya. That is that, and Donovan. Sorry, and Donovan. So that's one of like the weakest benches we've ever seen the Union trot out. But again, because of necessity more than anything. But I was a bit surprised to see Anderson starting. If you had seen my article from this past week, and if you just kind of heard us discuss online, I really thought they were going to go with Quinn and Bedoya, maybe Makanya thrown in there as well. Elliott might have been in the six, etc. I didn't know how they were going to approach it, because that's what Curtin has done in the past, has been just kind of safe. I didn't think this lineup was safe at all. I thought this was, I'm going to go for a win, and we're going to go with some offense out there. The defense is obviously going to be the biggest issue tomorrow or tonight, but we're going to just see if our offense can do enough. And, you know, if you look at the Quinn Sullivan goal, Marcus Anderson's the one who kind of brings the ball down the field, passes it to Raffanello to get him started, to get space to shoot the ball. So clearly that offensive mind and presence was on display last night from these young players, and they all played well. I thought Anderson, to Dan's point, has been great this season. His motor has been exactly what we needed for this rotation off the bench. He's been reliable in start spots so far this year as well. So I'm really happy to see what Marcus Anderson's doing. Before I continue with the forward position, though, let's just say hi to Valerie. She says, I'm still stunned by the performance and the win last night. Valerie, hello, as always. Jillian says, Marcus has been fun to watch. He's coming along nicely. Jillian and Kyle from the One Team We Agree On, thanks for joining us tonight. And Dan again says, he just works hard, creates chances. There's something there. I agree 100%. Now, before we continue about this rotation lineup, the argument of Marcus Anderson compared to Baribeau is still one that's being discussed pretty heavily. Ty Baribeau did not see any time with his Israeli national team this past week. A lot of people are saying, why can't he get minutes over Anderson or Donovan? As of right now, I feel like Anderson is the clear number three on the Union rotation for the forward spot. After last night and after what we've seen or have not seen from Baribeau, what do you think of the forward depth at the moment? And how does Baribeau even break into that rotation?
Well, I mean, speaking about the depth, I mean, it's obviously quite nice to actually have five strikers as opposed to most of last season. I mean, we discussed it all year, like, you know, loving that fourth choice before Baribeau came in with Corey Burke. And we saw the Union run into issues when Ilar and Carranza both got injured at the same time, and one, you know, when they both weren't available. When Ilar was struggling to play more than 60 minutes a game, you're taking Ilar out and you will then put like a random midfielder to play up front. But like, it's now good to have options, and I think that's probably the exciting thing. In terms of Anderson, again, I think this has been a bright spot for the season so far, to see a young kid coming over and making that transition so quickly. You know, and it does somewhat an interesting thing. It does somewhat disprove Jim's point of, you know, when certain new players come in and you're not too sure if Jim is a fan of them, and he'll sort of say, you know, they need to acclimatise, Well, Marcus Anderson hasn't given any time to acclimatise. He's been straight into the fire. You know, he's played in the CC, he's played in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, whatever it's called now. You know, he started a game like last night. He's played minutes and yet throughout the whole MLS season. You know, even when Union were down chasing goals and, was it Sporting Kansas when, it was Sporting Kansas, wasn't it, when they scored the late goal? Again, you had Bariba on the bench, whatever, and they chose to put Anderson on. They thought Anderson was the best, was the best option. So again, clearly he's done stuff in preseason and the stuff he does in training. And there's, you know, as Dan mentioned, I mean, his work rate is probably something, you know, Jim does love players that work hard and, you know, do try their best. And that's probably worked in his favour. And in terms of Bariba, I think at this point now, either there's an underlying injury, but something like that, or it's just Jim's not, or he's just going to be another Pereira and Torres, where Jim was supplied the player, Jim looked at the player, Jim's not like, Jim looked at it and perhaps isn't the biggest fan of him. I don't speak for Jim Curtin. I'll just see what I see. Right. We saw it with Pereira when he came in. A lot of fanfare, a lot of excitement. He had a good couple of cameos and was never seen again. The same with Torres. Torres had some bright sparks last season. He thought, that's going to be the time. This is his time now. But I think it was the League's Cup game last year when he came on against Querétaro in extra time. It just he was the reason Union won that game. He thought, this is his moment to break into that team, become part of the rotation, and he never played. And so for me, I feel like Bariba could end up being this last chance option guy that they just chuck on if they need something, or if they're really, really short-handed. But I feel like he is slowly going down the same route as a Torres and Bariba.
But the scary thing about that, Dave, is the fact that he's more expensive than Pereira and Torres was. But no, you're right. I noticed that too. Marcus is not a typical Union addition in the sense that most players, like, you know, I can think of, you know, Davo, for example, took time to get acclimated to this roster before they saw any minutes. He feels like he's just been plugged in day one, has been a perfect addition. But again, it kind of makes you, to Jillian's point, question Matt Real. So the lineups show the faith that they have in Matt Real, unless he was 100% or something we don't know. But in past years, to Jillian's point, you probably would have seen Matt Real in the left side that we saw Marcus last night. We've seen that last season as well. That was not the case. So you're thinking, not only is Marcus Anderson taking Bariba's minutes, but now he's taking Matt Real's minutes as well. Because, I mean, to be honest, it wouldn't have hurt to have someone a little bit more defensive-minded in front of that back line yesterday besides Bedoya. But again, Anderson's there instead, and it worked out. To Frank's point, he says, regarding Bariba, what was the idea? Was it speed, traditional nine, hold up? I don't know his role. And that's the thing. We don't know his role either, because at this point, we haven't seen enough minutes to really determine what he's really good at. It's been few and far between when we saw him last year, and obviously, he's only logged 151 minutes. So at this point, you're thinking he was supposed to be Julian Carranza's replacement, right? That seems like that was the conversation. Julian's on his way out. Bariba is going to fill right in. He brings quality. Obviously, he's on a national team. He has a pretty good highlight reel, I guess you want to say, sure. But at this point, I don't know either, Frank, because we just haven't seen it. Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
I thought he was known for being like quite a pacey striker, so I thought that might was his potential, like, you know, in behind and go like finish him 1-1. But clearly, at this point, you know, if he's fit enough to go with the national team, he's clearly got something. Honestly, I have no idea what's going on anymore. And again, it's just another point of, I think a manager should have a say over what players they sign. And it's clear again that this might not be a Jim Curtin signing, just like Torres wasn't a Jim Curtin signing and Pereira wasn't a Jim Curtin signing.
No, and then it brings another question. You know, over the past week, Portland brought in that player into their roster, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now, even though I just saw him play. That was in the rotation yesterday in the starting lineup. And Union fans are thinking, there's an example of another club going out and bringing in a player mid-season to try to immediately impact their rotation, their lineup, and try to make – and he actually scored last night too. For the Union, it's like, yeah, you could bring somebody in tomorrow, right? But do we have faith that he's actually going to start and make an impact? I don't know. As of right now, I would say Tanner's track record is slowly going in the opposite direction. I mean – you can argue that Michael Uwe hasn't exactly panned out, and we can have a conversation about Uwe as well. You could argue that Daniel Gazdag hasn't necessarily panned out to the level that people have wanted. Yes, he had all those PK goals last year, but we have seen times this year that he has underperformed. And I was almost, and if you saw me on the designated pundits this past Thursday, I mentioned I'm not entirely upset that Daniel missed yesterday. I thought it'd be kind of good to see what else can be done creativity-wise from the Union, from Quinn Sullivan or Raffanello, who I thought did well last night as well. Valerie mentions the same as Rodriguez. Thank you, Valerie. I thank you for checking that for me. And Dan says, so we go back to Diamond Midfield next week against Minnesota. And that's a great question, Dan. So what do we do now? All these players come back. You have this high off this performance. Dave, what kind of changes do you think we see on Saturday? Do you think we see anything from this past week translated over? Or how do you think now we shift with the full roster back in Chester?
I mean, for me personally, I wouldn't change the starting 11. I think they've gone out there and they've done the job, which they've done a great job. They should be put back straight back in the starting 11. You play the exact same team. What's the classic saying in football, soccer, whatever you want to call it, Mike? Never change a winning team. A winning team. There's no reason to. I mean, the first, three, four games of the season, they failed, not the first three games of the season in the MLS play, they failed to get it done. This set of players did. Give them a chance to play again, and you know, do you know what I mean? Like, reward the players that have gotten you in a position of have done something. These players went on the road, depleted. They would have had every excuse in the book to if they lost 4-0 yesterday, stretched legs and everything, whatever, like tiredness, players out of position. Okay, fair enough. We didn't have anyone on the bench to make an impact. Like, look at the squad last night at that bench. They're having five players. Your most experienced players are Chris Donovan and Matt Real. Matt Real, I don't think, has actually played in the MLS in a year. And Chris Donovan probably made that 20 appearances. Like, that was that. Do you know what I mean? Like, every excuse in the book was off. We were two goals down. Like, we only had Chris Donovan and Matt Real to bring on. Like, they deserve, those 11 players all deserve to start again.
So you're suggesting then, and I don't disagree with it, to just completely change things up entirely. Because to your point, we've been making some draws, but we haven't necessarily won anything of significance yet, right? We haven't looked great this year as well. So let's bring this rotation back and just tinker with it some more and change the approach. Because to your point, what we have in place right now is not working. So Jose, probably jokingly, but maybe seriously, says Damian Lowe in the midfield. Actually, Jim Curtin had mentioned how he noticed him being in the sixth role for Jamaica. So maybe that's something that we can kind of toy around with. And Dan also says Gazdag, what's his better suited position? Is he a ball distributing 10? Is he a box to box 8? How do we see Daniel Gazdag being used as well? So if you could have this roster and reconstruct it a bit, what would your, besides trotting out the same lineup on Saturday, what would be another way you approach this lineup then with some changes being thrown in the mix?
I think obviously if, looking past the Saturday, I think for me, Gazdag and Daniel Lowe could sit on the bench this weekend. Well, coming up against Minnesota, you play the exact same players. You play Bedore in the six, you play whoever you... But going forward with the flat, I don't think it works. I don't think with the squad you've got, I don't really think it works. Playing the flat 4-4-2, or if it's a 4-3-3, maybe it might work a bit better. But like, you need actual wide men. I think you've got Quinn Sullivan who can do that. I don't know if you're going to get away with playing Marcus Anderson at wide every single game. I don't think that's going to work. You haven't got enough wide players to actually facilitate those roles. Only other player that probably has experience of doing that, actually playing out wide on the wing, is Jose Martinez for Venezuela. He plays right wing back out wide. It's the only player that can do it. You might have a middle of Bueno and Jesus Bueno or whatever, like, or Bueno, do you know what I mean? Like, Bueno and McGlynn or something. Like, that's what I mean. I think Jim probably played that lineup just specifically for the players that was available to him. I highly doubt that perhaps beyond this weekend that they'll go, continue with this formation. I think I think you suggested it in the offseason, like, they brought back a player like Fafa Pico to give that option out wide and perhaps give you a bit of flexibility. I think you could then go ahead and say, like, yeah, sure, they could play this formation. And as Valerie just pointed out in the comment section, again, no one got hurt last night. So again, you come out with everyone unscathed. But I think this might be a case of you ride this boat, you ride the ship until something goes wrong. But I highly doubt that Jim, I mean, look, we're discussing this now. Jim will probably go and play Diamond. He'll bring back Gazdag. He'll put Jose and Jack McLear, Nate Harriel. Yeah, I thought, actually, shout out to Olivier Baez. I thought he had a very strong game last night.
I thought so too.
Had a very strong game last night. So again, he's making the case to not be dropped for the game. So for me, I'd go unchanged. But I know how Jim likes to roll.
That's the thing. I mean, you can argue that Daniel probably belongs in different positions. Maybe better up top in the eight. I just don't think Jim's going to do it. And I think to your point, even though we all kind of agree that maybe certain formation changes should be made, it's not going to happen. And I think we talked about this. Didn't we talk about this 2 weeks ago about how this team's been possessing the ball more than we've seen in past years as well? You know, they don't have that same defensive stoutness we've seen before. And maybe that's our wake-up call to switch up the formation, because it's obviously not translating well with the players we have on the field. By the way, we did score 3 goals last night, surprisingly. The Union survived that first 25 minutes or so, give or take. And then, like I said, they put that first goal in the back of the net with Julian Kranz off a set piece. Dave, I know you watched the game. You covered on the match report as well. If you guys can check out his match report, it's on AAT Sports Network. So from that first goal from Carranza, anything in particular that stood out for you on that header?
I don't think he could have – might have been accidental. I don't think he could have, like, directed and, you know, ain't like, cushioned the header as perfect as he did. Like, you watch the goal, and it sort of perfectly skimmed over the guy defending on the line's head, and it just perfectly nestled just inside the post. I think he's probably the perfect header for that sort of situation, really, sort of to get away from the defender that was in front of him and managed to definitely, like, cushion it and set a far corner. It was a great, you know, it was a great finish. Or, like, it sort of went over the player on the line's head. It was a great, great header. I think that's probably the only thing you could really say about it, obviously. Great to see.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's good to see Kyle Wagner get an assist.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw the replay again this morning, and you know, Julian didn't do anything crazy. He just kind of filled that hole, and the ball just kind of found him. It really was just a poor effort from Portland. I mean, he had 3 or 4 players around him that just kind of whiffed on the ball and just let it find Julian, who was really kind of almost jumping away from the goal a bit. And listen, I'm not going to complain about it, but it's one of those goals that you feel like the Union would have given up. Like, that seemed like a Union-style goal to give up the way Julian scored that. So it was good to see Carranza kind of come back and get back on the scoring sheet. But the next goal with the next opportunity, I should say, that was really close was Michael Uwa's chance one-on-one with the keeper. And now we've seen him a couple times this year miss these very close sitters one-on-one with the keeper, at least in the box. And we'll talk about Uwa a bit more as he did have an assist last night. But what was your thoughts on Michael Uwa's performance? I feel like he could have at least 3 or 4 more goals this year already. And he still has 3 goals and an assist. So it's not like statistically he's off to a horrible year, but he's missing these chances that you wouldn't expect him to miss. But go ahead. What did you think about Michael and some of his opportunities last night?
For me, I think it's probably extremely frustrating that, you know, he didn't score. He should have scored last night. He should have scored that first one for sure. But then even, you know, he's getting in those positions that he wasn't in last season. Do you know what I mean? Which is probably a good sign. You know, you've got to buy a ticket to be in the lottery and everything. You know, to win the lottery, whatever. Like, he's getting those positions. Even like the second chance to start the second half. How often last year did you see Uwa peeling off away down one of the wings or one of the channels, getting the ball in space and just driving into the penalty area, using his pace just to run into the penalty area and get. Didn't see that last year. That might be a player who's now played with confidence, who now knows that he's going to be given the time to, you know, play, you know, to actually get more minutes in the game, as opposed to worrying that if you do nothing after 50 minutes, you're going to be brought off 5 minutes later. Like, the assurances, maybe I'm not too sure, but I think, again, I thought, apart from scoring a goal, I thought I played a solid game. I know a lot of fans are upset because he didn't score, but that's the life of a striker sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't go your way. Even like, you mean like, sometimes he's getting in the positions to score goals. He just has to hit the back of the net and goals might flow, who knows, but he's getting in the positions that he wasn't getting in last season. That's a positive for me, I think. Again, for the assist as well, he could have easily tried to take it to goal and shoot, but he had the wherewithal to get his head up, spot Carranza inside the box and played a great low ball for him, just put it in the right position for Carranza just to, like, put the ball in the back of the net.
Well, yeah, let's skip the second goal and go to that third goal real quick before we talk about Quinn Sullivan's goal. So, you know, the Union have a stopped call off a foul, and Glesna sees Ua running and immediately sends the ball up the field to a perfect ball to Michael, by the way. But then Michael's pass, yeah, like you said, was perfectly placed to Julian, who, again, was also following Michael's lead and running towards net. And in four games so far in MLS, Michael has two goals and assists. So he's at least making an impact in some way. But again, you know, we want to see him finish that. I know the keeper is still making himself big in front of those shots. So I guess credit to some of these keepers for kind of preventing Michael from scoring. But again, we want to see it happen. We want to see him score. We saw it last year with Julian where he missed like five or six easy goals. And just kind of – I think it's maybe some PTSD from last year watching Julian miss a bunch that we're kind of frustrated with Michael as well. But I thought Jacob Glesson's – that ball to Michael was spot on. I thought Glesson's played fine as well. I know we've had issues so far with Jacob this year, especially in CONCACAF Champions Cup where he's had a couple boneheaded plays. But I thought Jacob played fine last night. I actually thought he played a pretty good game. Do you agree with how Glesson's performed last night?
Yeah, I think Glesner's played a solid game. I think, you know, for the second Evander shot, which was saved by Simba inside the area, I'm pretty sure from the looks at the TV angles I got, it looked like he got the slightest touch on the ball. Perhaps
I think he did.
Which took perhaps a bit of power out of it, power out of the shot maybe. And so, I mean, yeah, I thought Jacob played a solid game last night. I think probably his best game of the season. I mean, he has struggled at times already this year. So, yeah, I thought he played a solid game.
Absolutely. Now, the second goal. Quinn Sullivan's shot into the back of the net came from a Jeremy Raffanello shot on net from, 25, 30 yards out. A very good shot, though, from Jeremy that deflected off the keeper and rolled right to Quinn Sullivan's feet. Now, Quinn Sullivan has just made an impact every single match. I can't imagine him not being a starting lineup every single day. But I thought Jeremy Raffanello, in his second really long stint this season, played pretty well. He seems comfortable out there every single day. What did you see from Jeremy yesterday? I thought he looked comfortable considering the situation he was in. And kudos to him for trying from that far because it ended up being exactly what we needed.
Oh, yeah, I thought Jeremy, it's nice. It was good to see him get more minutes, perhaps more meaningful minutes than he did in his debut. I mean, getting hauled off after halftime, I thought, you know, again, he didn't put too much of a foot wrong, as you mentioned, with the goal. I mean, as we always say, sometimes just have a go. You never know what happens. And again, the keeper ends up pushing it out straight to Quinn, who then scores. I mean, sometimes just shooting from distance and testing the goalkeeper, good things happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Raffanello played a good game. You know, he got up and he got into some good areas. So, worked hard defensively. You know, probably in a position he's probably not too used to playing in a central midfield two with Bedoya. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, playing for a younger guy in a high-pressure situation like that, I mean, good on him. I don't think you heard his name too much last night, which is probably a good thing in that sort of position. You're just sort of getting the head down, doing the dirty business and doing their business quietly is good. It's a good thing.
No, I completely agree. And it's, you know, in a situation where the Union are very clearly relying on their youth to get better this year, Raffanello has to be somebody that can come off the bench and make an impact in the lineup or even start in certain positions or certain games rather. So again, you know, if you don't know what you're going to get from Baribo and Quinn Sullivan is making this impact and this is influencing the lineup every single week, then you have to look to other players like Bedoya off the bench and I guess Donovan off the bench, Marcus Anderson, and Raffanello just has to fall in line because yes, it's good to have five forwards that have some depth back there, but we need depth in the midfield as well. We can't rely on Bedoya every single match to come in and save us. There has to be some other option out there. So having Jeremy get these minutes, get this experience, and hopefully continue to improve is only a good thing for this club, considering I don't think we're going to add any pieces this year. So that's kind of what we're left with. But either way, the Union, again, earned 3 points last night. They had three goals, which I didn't think they were going to do in Portland. I thought it was going to be the other way around, if anything, 3-1 in Portland's favor, which certainly could have happened. But they held on, and kudos to them for the win. But now we face against Minnesota at 2 p.m. on Saturday the 30th. As of right now, it looks like it's going to be 60 degrees and sunny. Minnesota is not exactly a bad team by any stretch of the imagination. They are 3-1-0, and they come in with 8 goals so far in the year, as well as only 4 goals given up. But again, another team from the other conference that's going to be on our schedule. Any concerns this Saturday? Any letdown spot after this past week's performance? Do you think we take it to Minnesota? What are your thoughts now coming back home after it's been a while since we've been home too?
Yeah. I think, oh, of course, but the last game that was at home was the monsoon. Yeah, I think it definitely probably has a bit of a potential to be a letdown game, you know, coming off that massive high, you know, coming away from Portland, a road game. It looked like it was going to be a difficult road game, a game that you probably weren't expecting to win or get anything from, and you come away with such a convincing performance in terms of, you know, scoring three goals and everything against a Portland team that has started the season quite strongly. Fourth place in the Western Conference. So it's definitely got potential to perhaps be a letdown game. But your fingers crossed, you know, I think it's definitely a winnable game for the Union at home. I think, again, Minnesota again have started the season strongly as well with 10 points this year. So, I mean, like, I've beaten, like, sort of a reverse of what the Union have done. Minnesota won three games, drawn one, Union have won one, drawn three. But, you know, Minnesota, have had a really strong start to the season. For the Union, it's going to be a tough task for them to perhaps try and match whatever Minnesota throw at them in terms of, you know, then go forward again there and beat them. So, I mean, I can't say I've seen anything of Minnesota themselves, but I think you look at pretty much the whole of the MLS, most of the teams have got a loss to their name this year. So to be unbeaten still after four or five games when everyone's seemingly beating each other is obviously shows that, you know, they're going to be a tough team to like crack down or beat.
A tough team for sure. I'm looking at this. So you're right. I haven't seen Minnesota either. So this is just more so coming off their schedule. They started the season in Austin. They won 2-1 at Austin. They had a 3-2 win at Orlando. When they hosted Columbus earlier this month, or I should say, yeah, was it earlier this month? Yeah, earlier on March 2nd, it was a 1-1 draw, but they scored in the 95th minute against Columbus after they were trailing 1-0 at home. And then they just shut out LAFC 2-0 at home as well. They scored in the 16th minute as well as the 88th minute. But in terms of the Union being a resilient squad so far, right, we've seen them make a bunch of comebacks. We've seen them show some grit last night. Minnesota, with two of their three wins on the road, is impressive. We know how hard it is to win in this league. So for them to go out there and take care of business and score, was it five goals so far on the road? Gets me a little bit nervous for Saturday because I know how quickly this team has given up goals so far this year. To Frank's point earlier, that first half could have been a totally different conversation if Portland had made that first goal, right? It could have easily been 2-3-0 in the first half. And then we're saying, oh, there's no depth on this team. This is such a front office problem. Those holes are a bit negated today because we obviously had the result that we did not expect, but still, I think Minnesota could come in and put up two goals on us for sure with the way our defensive backline is playing. And then my concern is, do we have the firepower to then keep up with them? I mean, so far we've done fine scoring goals, but we've also seen a period so far the season already where we had the one goal late in Sporting Kansas City, and then we went scoreless for, what, two or three matches after that? So we've seen this team get cold. I mean, yes, we started hot, and then we went through this patch, and we're seeing like we're coming back to that scoring sheet again, but I don't know. You could tell me this is going to be 3-0 Minnesota, and I would believe you as well. Yeah. So, any other thoughts on this Minnesota game, or lineup you think is going to be out there?
Lineup, I'm two minds of. I think personally, I wouldn't change the team, but I could easily see Jim go straight back to type of Diamond, Gazdag, McLean, Harriel, Martinez. Yeah, whatever. Like, I think the players that won the game should be rewarded and given another opportunity to prove that, you know, they should stay out there. But yeah, I think it's going to go one of two ways. But I think again, Minnesota's going to be a difficult game. I think this year's probably been close to tightest the MLS has been to start a season for a while. I mean, you sort of look at the, the team, everyone, again, as I said, everyone's beating each other. It's all like the leagues are all quite like tight and compact already after five games. I mean, you've got a couple of teams that have perhaps played six, like Inter Miami. I don't know why they've played two more games in the Union, again, it's such a tight league at the moment. I think it's difficult to really deduce who's going to be good, who is bad, but at the same time, again, everyone's beating everyone, so perhaps it could be one of those years where no one wants that first seed or no one wants to make the playoffs, and everyone's just going to be scrapping it out until the final couple of games. Who knows?
But, yeah, Miami lost 4-0 yesterday. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, again, you would have thought, looking at it, you thought, oh, they mustn't have had Alba, Suarez, and Busquets as well, but they all played. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Minnesota right now is first in the West, but again, you know, certain things can change very quickly. I mean, yesterday, the Vancouver Whitecaps hosted Real Salt Lake. I thought Vancouver was going to take care of business and they ended up losing to Real Salt Lake at home. So it's one of those things where it's too early to tell who's really as good as their record shows right now. But the Union are unbeaten, whether that has any significance here or not, yeah, that's a different story. But they are unbeaten, and at least they haven't lost the game. And I guess kudos to them for that. Eric mentions the one thing is rest. Early season, you didn't have much of that. But on the other hand, the Union have loved to do something no one expects. So this could be easily a letdown. And I think Eric is speaking from experience and some PTSD from this Union squad. But I agree. I could certainly see this being a letdown match. And he's trots out the same lineup that we've seen over and over, where, you know, Gazlag's in the 10 and Jose's in the 6. And it's just the same old stuff. And we struggle to score and we struggle to make an impact. We give up a goal within the first 15, 20 minutes, and then we're back to the same conversation we have every single week. So, Eric, I have a fortunate feeling that's kind of where it's going to be, but hopefully I'm wrong. And Jose mentions Curtin's suit is not as cursed as I thought. I guess not, but now that he said that out loud, Jose, maybe it is. But either way, the Union hosts Minnesota at 2 p.m. It's actually Kids Day at Subaru Park. So as long as the weather holds up okay and it looks fine, I'm going to bring Aubrey to her first game on Saturday. So if you guys are there Saturday, say hello. I'm hoping that she has a good time. I haven't told her yet, so I'm just going to take her on Saturday and just surprise her at Chester. But again, it's a 2 p.m. start rather than a typical 7:30. So it'll be a nice early bird special to tailgate, and we'll have a good time. Dave, any final thoughts, though, before we wrap this up? I know the U.S. national team is kicking off right now, so I know a lot of people want to watch that. So any last thoughts before we sign off tonight?
Well, did it say the kickoff was at 9:15? So I think we've got about another 45 minutes till it kicks off, so it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's a joke of the American sporting events never start on time when it actually says it's going to start. So go away, guys. We could go for another 45 minutes if you want. No, but I think final thoughts. It's kicked off on time. If you look at Valerie's
comment. Kicked off on time. Valerie says it's 8-0, or 0-0 rather, in the 8th minute. I should say.
Crikey, it's kicked off on time. What's going on? Final thoughts. I think this is probably the biggest result that the Union could have had this season. I think, you know.
Yeah.
And I think I said it a couple of weeks ago, probably the last show I did before the Pachuca second leg. That game's going to show a lot of, tell us a lot about the Union, mentally, and to get absolutely spanked 6-0 and just collapse the way they did was extremely concerning. I think, you know, for a team that perhaps had realistic chances of going far in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, you'd have thought in such a hostile environment, and unfortunately they caved. And again, it could have easily gone that way on last night, and for them to mm-hmm. you know, keep their knuckle down, get their heads down, work hard, you know, put as much pressure on Portland as they could, and it'd be clinical with the chances when they came. It's a good sign to see. I think perhaps this team's just going to be consistently inconsistent all year. Who knows? And we're going to have those letdown games, and like we did in Pachuca, but then also have stunning results like last night, where you're seriously depleted, expectations are low. People are perhaps a bit down on the team, and they come out and produce that. I think that might be the summary of this, what this team's going to be like this year.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit, Dave, of when the Union traded away Sergio Santos, and you could sense there was like a little tension in the locker room, and then they just kicked off their summer with, you know, a massacre of DC United, and they were scoring goals left and right. And all of a sudden we had these like career years from the players, and it just kind of took off into what it was. But if you remember that MLS Cup year, the Union went through a long drought where they just couldn't win a game. They were drawing like crazy. And it was one of those things where we thought, well, how's this locker room going to respond to losing one of those players like Sergio? This is a similar moment to me in the sense that you've obviously had a really tough year last year, just from longevity of the season and injuries, that kind of stuff. You obviously get embarrassed in Pachuca, and you have all these question marks. This team's, again, going through a gauntlet of stuff. the front office didn't make any moves, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then suddenly you have a performance like yesterday. And to Eric's point, you know, you finally have rest moving forward. I mean, because even League's Cup, even though it's adding more time to the players' legs, it's not during the MLS season. They're all – it's just like a pause. They play this and they go back to this. So it's not like they're intermingling these schedules. So you have a team that can now focus the entire season on MLS. And I think to your point, or I guess even to think about the 2022 season, this is an opportunity where they say, okay, we have this rejuvenated feeling in the locker room now after yesterday's performance. Are we going to let Minnesota walk in and kind of damper that a bit with a unexpected loss at Super Park? Or are we going to then build from that and just take off for the rest of the season? Because if you look back, if you look at this in a couple months, and if the Union go and they end up kind of climbing the table these next 1 or 2 months, and they become the Union we expect them to be or could be, you're going to look back on this Portland match and say, wow, talk about a kickstart to the season to really get this team back on track. Or you're going to go downhill and you're going to lose. And then you're going to say, well, the Portland game was just a fluke and it was just more so out of luck than anything. And now this team's back. So this is a pivotal part of the season, which is weird to say in April, you know, basically April 1st. But to me, I feel like this is a pretty significant time for this club. Yeah. And we'll see exactly what this team is made of moving forward, because you have a good showing against Minnesota. And let's say you win against Minnesota at home, you know, the sky's the limit now. You're still unbeaten. You're entering April now, probably closer to fourth or fifth place compared to where you're at now, like eighth, I think they're at.
Yeah.
The vibe in the locker room is certainly better. So Eric mentions, I was down on them last year. This year, my expectations are just low. They have to earn me thinking they're worth anything this season, which I don't disagree with Eric. But again, my final thought, just continue to show that grit, and hopefully Saturday we can have a good performance again. But again, this is across the pitch. We're going to sign off tonight with the U.S. national team kicking off. I know everybody wants to watch that. I am Mike Brera. You can find me on TikTok and Twitter at mbrera1323. Again, at those platforms. And then Dave GFC Miller covering the Union, as well as Gillingham on his early Saturday mornings out in England. Otherwise, Jose Nunez is Jose R. Nunez 91. You can follow him on Twitter with all the great coverage he's been doing. And we are going to try to record again once a week. I know we've been off about 10 days now, so we'll try to make it more consistent and bring you as much Union coverage as possible. Otherwise, happy Sunday night, everybody. Dave, I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Go Union. Duke.
Go Union. Duke.